Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. And on Friday, we talk apologetics and theology when I want to, because that's the rule of Free For All Friday. We talk about whatever I want to talk about. On Monday, I gave arguments for why Jewish people should consider Jesus Christ to be the Messiah and the Catholic Church to be the fullness, the fulfillment of Judaism. So, you know, the old covenant has now become the universal new covenant for all people. So I talked about that on Monday. I alluded a little bit in that episode to how anti-Semitism can be a barrier for Jewish people who are considering converting to Catholicism. So in today's episode, I want to share with you a talk that I gave at the Philos conference a few months ago, I think, at this point. So I went to DC and I gave this talk. It was about anti-Semitism within the Catholic Church and how to respond to that. And I was asked to give a talk showing why this is a problem and being very, very clear about what I mean by the term anti-Semitism, because I mean, I have been accused of anti-Semitism for simply comparing the slaughter and dehumanization of unborn children to the slaughter and dehumanization of Jews and other people in Nazi Germany. Like, I've had people call me anti-Semitic for doing that. So I define the term very carefully, and I talk about how there are problematic elements of this even within the church today, and we have to respond to that. So that's the talk I'm giving. There are some people that were not very happy about this talk, by the way. There are people that accuse me of being paid off by some special interests out to get the church or something like that. I was not paid for this talk, by the way. I just went and participated in the conference and wanted to share. So I think you'll get a lot out of hearing this talk. And if you go look online, look up Philos Conference, Anti-Semitism, you can watch the whole thing. I was involved in a panel discussion. I think you'll find it very interesting. So here is my talk.
Thank you, Simone, and thank you so much for inviting me here today to address you. On April 27th, 2019, 19-year-old John Ernest walked into a synagogue in Poway, California with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle and opened fire. He injured three people, including the synagogue's rabbi, and fatally wounded a woman named Lori Gilbert Kay. Ernest fled the scene and was later apprehended and then convicted of his crimes. He received a sentence of life in prison plus 30 years. What struck me most about Ernest's case was the content of the manifesto he published before his crime. It was teeming with anti-Semitic claims and arguments I have seen all over the internet, even among self-professed Christians. In fact, Ernest called himself a Christian in his manifesto. He belonged to a traditionally Orthodox Presbyterian church and had no previous criminal record before his crime. He poignantly writes in the manifesto, "To my family and friends, I can already hear your voices. How could you throw your life away? You had everything." Ernest's answer, "I will not sell my soul by sitting idly by as evil grows. I'd rather die in glory or spend the rest of my life in prison than waste away knowing that I did nothing to stop this evil." That evil, he said, were the Jews. He writes, "Every Jew is responsible for the meticulously planned genocide of the European race. They act as a unit, and every Jew plays his part to enslave the other races around him, whether consciously or subconsciously. Their crimes are endless." His manifesto then lays a laundry list of crimes at the feet of the Jews: controlling the media, usury, Marxism, communism, sexual degeneracy, feminism, pornography, the slave trade, genocide, especially white genocide, killing children, and of course, killing Jesus. He says, "For these crimes, they deserve nothing but hell. I will send them there." He continues, "I did not choose to be a Christian. The Father chose me." When it comes to the objection that he should, as a Christian, love his enemies, Ernest says one would not love a thief robbing a friend by doing nothing to help the friend. One can kill in self-defense. And he claims, "I did not want to have to kill Jews, but they have given us no other option. I'm just a normal dude who wanted to have a family, help and heal people, and play piano. But the Jew, with his genocidal instincts, is insistent on poking the bear until it tears his head off." Now, some people may say that Ernest was just one violent fanatic and anti-Semitism isn't a big problem. But Ernest's rhetoric is neither novel nor uncommon. Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, and addresses like his 1920 speech, Why We Must Be Anti-Semites, are filled with this same kind of rhetoric. The Jews are a dangerous threat to society, and they must be contained by any means necessary. And Hitler's ideology is spreading. In 2024, the New York Post reported on how AI translations of Hitler's speeches into English have garnered millions of views on social media and millions of positive reactions. Prominent social media accounts deny Hitler was involved in genocide and portray him as a misunderstood leader in a war where there were no good guys because, according to them, each side of the war killed civilians in comparable fashion. When placed in a sympathetic lens, young people are more apt to be seduced by anti-Semitic rhetoric that mirrors the same arguments Ernest made in his manifesto. In the past few years, I have noticed an explosive growth in anti-Semitic content online, including among self-proclaimed Christians. They claim they don't hate Jewish people, and so they are not anti-Semitic in the classic sense of that word. Their belief system is also immune to the common reply that a Christian cannot be anti-Semitic because Jesus, Mary, and the apostles were Jews. These Christian anti-Semites say they do not hate anyone. They say they do not hate anyone because of their ethnicity. Instead, they claim to simply adhere to the Bible's teaching that the Jews killed Jesus and that the Jews are an enemy of mankind. The only thing they hate, they claim, is the false religion of the Jews. But these anti-Semites routinely pull a bait and switch. When they are pressed, they say they only oppose the false religion of Judaism. However, when they see a Jew guilty of immorality, they publicly share this with the assumption that this incident proves ethnic Jews, even those who are not religious, are morally inferior to non-Jews. I remember seeing one anonymous account, a Catholic account, blame the actor Bryan Cranston's support for legal abortion not on his liberal Hollywood environment, but on the fact that he's 1/8 Jewish. They also say they're just being faithful to church teaching that paints the Jews as untrustworthy, subversive dangers to Christian society that must be segregated and contained. Antisemitism doesn't entice people by presenting itself as a wild-eyed, frothing-at-the-mouth call to exterminate the Jews. Instead, it presents itself as a simple noticer of individual Jews engaged in immoral behavior, or Jews being overrepresented in certain fields. It then, through a combination of fallacies like confirmation bias and hasty generalization, claims that Jews are behind many or all the evils in the world. Like many conspiracy theories, these claims are warmly received by people who want a simple explanation for the problems in the world instead of the complex reality of how sin manifests itself in all races, creeds, and cultures. However, it doesn't take much to transform this rhetoric from simple noticing and jokes about Jews into warnings about dangerous Jewish supremacy, and finally into concrete actions to oppose what they call dangerous Jewish power, including violent actions like those of John Ernest and many others who have committed acts of violence against Jewish people. But anti-Semitism is wrong, even if it does not result in violence. The Ku Klux Klan once violently persecuted Catholics in the United States in the early 20th century. But that doesn't mean it's okay to commit nonviolent acts of anti-Catholicism today. It is still wrong for bigots to slander Catholics and harm them through lies about what Catholics do, just as it's wrong for anti-Semites to slander Jews from their keyboards, even if they never encounter a Jew in their daily lives. The problem also has a distinctly Christian element, as can be seen in Ernest's case. Anonymous social media accounts who have an abundance of free time and an abundance of Jew obsession mine the church fathers, ecumenical councils, papal documents, and 19th and 20th century Catholic authors for quotes that they claim give their Jew hatred a traditional and orthodox pedigree. One of these accounts has even called for a final solution to the Jewish problem that claims Catholic teaching requires Jews to be deported to Israel so that Christians do not have to live with them. And their arguments seem impressive to Catholics who want to be faithful to traditional church teaching, but mistakenly think everything in previous magisterial documents belongs to the unchanging deposit of faith. This inability to understand the different levels of authority in church documents and how doctrine develops over time leads them to believing Catholics must endorse errors like geocentrism or anti-Semitism. In closing, we ignore this growing online problem, especially among Catholics, at our and others' peril. Posts defending Jew hatred, Holocaust denial, and worst of all, Holocaust cheerleading that openly calls for the death of Jews receive tens of thousands of likes on social media. And the problem will only get worse if we, out of ignorance, hubris, or cowardice, refuse to face it head on. But instead, we must face it with hearts filled not with malice, but with the love of Christ that seeks to rescue people who have been ensnared by the Father of Lies. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You can go check out Philos Catholic online. You can watch the whole conference there on their YouTube channel. And I just hope you have a very blessed weekend.